Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and today we have got some exciting news, but we have exciting news all the time, so you would be used to that, but wait until you find out what Lucinda does. Well, if you've read the little blog, you would probably have seen, but I'm not going to tell you any more yet. First of all, like, subscribe, share, do what we need to do to get this out so everyone can start to learn to trust their intuition, and it will make life a lot easier, all of our lives a lot easier. But Lucinda, she is right into creativity and the benefits that that brings for us, just for everybody. And I'm not going to talk too much. I want to bring Lucinda on because she is going to explain exactly what it's all about. Welcome on board, Lucinda.
Thank you, Susan.
It's lovely to have you. Okay, Lucinda, you need to let us know. We've got to get a bit of an understanding of who you are and where you've come from. Because I did have a quick look on your Facebook page about you and your web page, and I'm going to tell everybody about that later. But you're right into all things creativity, aren't you? Like in writing, and how did you get to where you are?
Oh, well, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, and my family were all like pioneers. I lived at the end of the Oregon Trail. My dad and mom both loved stories. My mother was an avid reader. My dad had dyslexia and taught himself how to read. Mostly the way he taught us about what human beings were was through talking about movies and television. And so whenever we watched a movie together as a family, we discuss it. And that led me to understand how to analyze stories. And so I've always loved them. And, you know, my mom would give me books and I would read those and we would talk about them. So by the time I got to junior and senior in high school, and we were reading books in English class, I was the kid that everybody went, oh, God, because I was, I was analyzing the stories and talking. It was like the teacher and I sometimes were having a conversation and nobody else was in on the conversation. And that led me to, when I finally went to college at 22, I decided to work for a while. First, I was really interested in the stories of the Bible and religious stories. So I took religious studies. That was my first degree. And then I was waiting for my husband to graduate. I'm a little older than he is. And so I added theater and speech to my bachelor's degree. So I have two degrees in my BA. And then later, after I tried to work in the corporate world for a while, and that was a disaster, I decided to get a master's in theater. And I started working in the theater scene in Portland, Oregon. One of the main companies that I worked with was subsidized by the city of Portland. It was called the Musical Company. I worked in the costume shop. I stage managed. I was an actor. I did all kinds of stuff for them, and as well as other theater companies. And then after I finished my master's, I started teaching the little theater drama classes for Portland Parks and Rec and Vancouver Parks and Rec. And I did some gifted and talented classes and things like that. And so, but eventually my husband and I sold our house and took a trip circumnavigating the globe. And Australia was one of the places we visited because we have a friend who lives in Adelaide, and he and his family. Yeah, right. Great place. Go visit. Go visit Australia. And then we ended up in Southern Arizona and in a fairly small town. So I started substitute teaching, and the drama teacher at the high school discovered that I had a master's in theater, and she was getting ready to retire. So she suggested that I apply for her position, which I did. And so I got an emergency certification while I was getting my master's of education. And so everything was story. And then when I had to move to a different school and teach English, I realized, I know how to teach these students how to write. And after about 5 years at that school district, I quit teaching public school and started teaching at the college, theater classes at the college part-time while I was writing my novel. And the Space Between Time is my first novel. And then I got a blog, which is on WordPress, Sage Woman Chronicles. I started that in 2013, and that led to, eventually, it all led to the podcast that I do now, which is Story Power. I started that in July of 2020, and of course, the pandemic was going, so it was easy to do podcasting, and I've been doing it ever since, and June of last year, I was invited to join Podmatch, and I have so many guests recorded and lined up to record that I now have enough podcast episodes scheduled through 2022. So, and I'm having so much fun. I love doing the podcasting. So everything that I do practically has to do with creativity. And one of the things that I was thinking about today as I was thinking about what we were going to talk about is, to me, we're all creative. And that is how we are linked to God, because God is creative and we are created in the image of God, and every single person is creative. And it's the people who don't know that they're creative or don't know how to use their creativity who are in the, what is it? What was the term? Living a life of desperation. I think Emerson said that. And so, yeah, I just suggest go garden, go cook, go decorate your house. Find something to be creative about. It doesn't have to be writing or podcasting or, you know, blogging. It could.
So in your life, you've done so many different things in your life, to get you up to where you are here. Mm-hmm. And I'm really spun out by how many degrees that you've got, because people will often look at creativity like painting or writing and like, mm-hmm. Oh, you don't need a degree for that or anything. But whether you do or not is irrelevant, is the fact that you have got them. And it's almost like you've gone through and creatively collected degrees to go with everything else.
Yes. I say I have too much education, really, for any really good purpose.
Yeah. Sometimes that education can actually stifle you a little bit, but obviously really? It doesn't do it. Yeah. But what I'd love to know then, so we're talking about the creativity, and you've just brushed on a couple of different ones. And again, I suppose I go straight back to painting or writing, because I do those type of things and I've done a lot of craft work. I owned a 90-acre organic crop farm, so I did a lot of gardening, but I wouldn't have called that creativity. I would have called maybe, doing your hedges and that creative, but not, working the garden. So before you say anything about that, I want to know, what is creativity and all these different types of creativity that we can use? So people can look at it and go, well, actually, I'd love to try that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, creativity is thinking outside the box. So anytime, I mean, if you're confronted with a problem in your personal life or at home, I mean, or at work, and you're saying, okay, now, how can I deal with this issue? How can I resolve it? And you're opening up your mind and saying, okay, I need an answer. And then an answer comes to you. That's creativity. Doesn't have to be something, you know, artsy, or it doesn't have my definition of creativity, I guess, is a lot wider than just the arts.
Yes, that's what I'm picking up, and I didn't even look at it that way. I suppose when I looked at creativity, it's to create something, but it's actually not necessarily to create something physical, but to create a solution or to create other aspects, isn't it? That, which is what you're sort of putting it down to.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the, at least that's how I think of it. And when I'm talking to my students, at least when I was talking to my high school students, but sometimes when I'm talking to them, my acting, well, we all have a genius for something. And if you follow your life path, if you open up to what that might be, what your genius might be, well, then you're going to be creative. Maybe you're the very best friend on the whole planet, or maybe you, like, there are all these people who create nonprofit organizations to help other people. That's creative. You know, so, you know, find what your genius is and then go follow that.
Okay, so you're also looking at your passion, aren't you? So what your passion is as well, because your genius and your passion are so well interlinked in the fact that if you've got a genius, usually it is part of your passion, isn't it? Because you feel that you're quite good at it and you enjoy doing it and you get into it and you do that and you create.
Yes. And I'm going to talk about my podcast, because for a long time I had wanted to start a podcast, but I didn't. You have to have a focus, as you know, for your podcast. So, and I kept thinking, what can I do it on? And at one point I thought, I could do it about stories, because I love stories. Okay. But how can I, What would it be titled, and how could I talk about that with people? And, you know, so a little by little by little, it all kind of came together. And then when the pandemic happened and we were all locked down and my husband was working at home and I was teaching all my classes from home, I had an opportunity to learn how to use GarageBand, and so that I could edit and record and edit. And that's how it all came about. But it was it's not like a bolt of lightning from the blue. It's all going to happen a little at a time.
Yes. And when you're sort of saying that, because what you said earlier, like you ask, or you put that information out there, and I know when I was starting this podcast, it was like, well, yes, I'd like to start a podcast, but again, I don't know where to go or how to do that. But I opened the doors like you did. You opened up yourself. You opened up your heart to go, well, okay, I'll get the information when it comes to me. And then when that information does come, then you take another step. And like you say, you use your creativity to take that forward another step. It took me probably, I don't know, 3 months or so before I actually was ready to go with this podcast. And part of that was sort of getting the guts to talk about it, you know, and feeling the courage. And the other part was the commitment.
Right, because it is a huge commitment.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I didn't think of it as creativity until I got past the first 4 months, 5 months, and I stopped typing everything out and reading from a script, like blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then I started to actually loosen up, and I'd had more guests come on, because first of all, I did all the talking, and then I started having guests come on. And then it allowed me to open up and to be able to talk. And mm-hmm. and I see that now, as you're saying, is part of the creativity, isn't it? It's part of mm-hmm. of stepping out of that square, that box, that zone, and putting, I guess I call it putting my trust in the intuition. You're saying yes. putting your trust in God. You know, whatever it is, you're yes. putting your trust out there to receive that information. I love that.
Yes. Well, and another thing is, ever since I've been a little child, I had this, what I called my little voice, talking to me, helping me with things. And I think some people don't know how to listen to their intuition. And so I'll give an example. When I was trying to figure out a title for my novel, The Space Between Time, I kept, you know, I was driving back and forth teaching classes on campus, and we live a half an hour away from town. So I had a lot of time to think while I was driving back and forth, and I kept thinking, what is the title of my book going to be? And I wrote a bunch of titles down. Well, one night I was driving home from acting class, and it was dark outside, and I was looking up at the stars. We live in Arizona, so you can see the stars really well. And I was listening to the Beatles. And a Beatles song came on, and it was like, I don't even remember what song it was, but it had something to do with space and time. And I went, oh, that's the title for my novel, The Space Between Time, because I have two timelines, as you were talking earlier. And so it can come in a song. The answer can come with somebody saying something to you. Or you read it in a book, or you see it on, you know, you hear people talking, and the answer comes from their conversation that you're eavesdropping on. You know, it can come from anywhere. You know, your inspiration can come from anywhere.
Yes, and I guess that's the other aspect to it, isn't it? It's not just the creativity, but it's the inspiration. And you're mm-hmm. saying that little voice is giving you that inspiration and listening. And I've talked about it before with that intuition. Like, I remember driving in the car with my partner, and something came on the radio, and I sort of turned to him and said, well, did you hear that? That was really interesting. And he goes, no, I didn't hear it. Because mm-hmm. I was tuned into it, but he wasn't. He was looking mm-hmm. at something else and actually said, no, but did you see that? And I went, no. But it's how you're tuned into it, isn't it? So that's the inspiration mm. that you're getting, and then you mm. need to take it forward. So you were mm. asking for an understanding of the name of your book, which is The Space Between Time, and you got that just by tuning in, because you asked, you allowed that opening to come through to you, and that's mm. really amazing, that little voice coming through. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, and I think it all started when I was in college. I was 24. It was my second year, and I was a religious studies major, and at a Christian college with like 2,500 or 2,000 or 3,000 students. And I was the only woman in the program. And there were people who did not think that I should be there. And so I was having all kinds of difficulty because I was getting harassed at every meal. With the guys bringing the Bible and saying, look. And so I was in a really bad way. And someone suggested that I buy a journal and start writing. And I wrote for months, just complaining. Oh, my life is terrible and blah, 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 blah. I finally, one day, I got so tired of that. And I wrote, what am I supposed to be learning from this? And the minute I wrote that, I started getting, I mean, like messages in my head that were coming out my pen onto the page. And that's sort of, you know, that was sort of I had been listening to my little voice a lot before that. But I mean, I was a lot more actively listening after that.
Yes. Yeah. And you're seeing it as well, not just listening to it. You're actually writing it down and you're seeing it again. So it's like repeating itself a little bit more. So, yeah, the video mm-hmm. is just going a little mm-hmm. bit blurry there, but we've still got your audio, which is really cool. And I don't okay. play with this. What happens, happens. It's so be it. But the other thing I want to ask you.
Well, and I live in the
country. So, oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I live in the country. We have iffy internet here where I live. So.
But what I wanted to ask you, and if it does go out, don't worry, just jump back on. I'll keep on chatting. I'll just do that. But what I did want to ask you is about the theatre side of things, you know, because you do some film producing or something, but I'd love to get an understanding of the theatre side of things and how that helps you.
Oh, well, at the same time that I started journaling, I also got the suggestion to audition for some plays at the college. So I had tried to do some drama things when I was in high school, but I went to really small high schools. You know, I only had 48 in my graduating class. So that kind of tells you how many students were at the school. Yeah. So I auditioned. I didn't get in that first show, but I got to work backstage. And as I did get roles, I realized over the years that, you know, there are parts of me in every character that I play, which was like a real revelation that, oh, you know, okay, I'm playing this pathological liar, and there are parts of me that are like this pathological liar, or I'm playing a nun. Oh, well, okay, that was closer to me. Or I'm playing a courtesan. So I started to realize that human beings aren't quite so different from each other as I originally thought. And I've directed plays as well as I've only produced one, but I wasn't getting money for it or anything. It was at the college. So acting and directing, and then I teach a class called Dramatic Structure where we watch movies and we discuss the themes, how it's put together so that you can get the theme. But all of that, what was the original question? All of that has helped me realize what it means to be a human being. I hope I answered your question.
Yes. Yeah. I'm following where you're going. Cause I sort of asked how that has helped you and by seeing yourself in some of those roles, you're actually almost looking at, you know, a shadow side of yourself, or you're looking at some of those areas of you and getting a better understanding of who you are, not disliking them, not saying they're bad, just saying that's all part of who we are. And we have all these roles and all these areas inside us that we do need to look at. And those are those areas that we can go, well, if you do want to do something in a more of a art creative format, you can have a look at those. Or again, being an actor is very, very, I mean, the thought of having to try and be somebody else would be very challenging for me. I was a dancer. I was on stage with dancing. So I did a lot of big stage shows and theatre productions, but not acting, not being something that, you know, if I saw that, you'd sort of start to get a bit of a, whoa, am I like that pathical liar? Is there elements of me that are like that? It could be quite challenging for you.
Well, my philosophy is that we're acting all the time. Yeah, because we're a different person at work than we are with our family, than we are with our friends, than we are when we're by ourselves. So really, we are acting all the time. So anybody can be a good actor. The trick is to find those places where you and the character connect. It's not actually trying to be someone else. It's trying to find the things in you that connect with the character. That's the way I approach it.
Okay, right. So yeah, so it's just that connection. And I guess that with anything, like even the writing and even art, any of those types of what they call creative aspects are still about you connecting with an area of it, isn't it? You, if you're not connecting with the paint, or you're not connecting with the flow of the keyboard as you're typing, you're not really bringing forward not a true sense, but it doesn't flow as well, does it?
Right. Yeah, because it all has to come from you.
Yes.
The creativity has to come from you, inside you.
Yes. Yeah. So how can we work out ways that we, is there ways that we can sort of look at or things of personality types or different aspects of ourselves or past that can actually help us, give us a bit of a guidance on which way to go?
Well,
which path to follow?
One thing I do with my acting students is I suggest that they go find out what their personality type is. And it's always helpful for actors to know a little bit about all the personality types anyway. But if you know something about your personality type, then that might give you a little clue as to what your comfort zone is, and also what your what aspects of creativity you would be. Like somebody who is an accountant might not really connect with dance, for example, or, they might, but, you know, just if you know a little bit about your personality type, it might help you discover something that you can connect with to start with. And as I said, in my own life, one thing led to another thing, led to another thing, led to another thing. So you just need a starting point. That's all you need.
Yes, yeah, that's very, very true. And too often people sit back and go, well, I don't know what I like, but you haven't tried anything. You haven't stepped there. I mean, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, would I be doing a podcast? You know, I would have sort of laughed because this, I didn't even know what a podcast was probably 5 years ago. little running one yourself. But yes, it is. And I mean, like 5 years ago, 8 years, 9 years ago, I wrote my first book. And it was the biggest flop you could imagine. It was wonderful. Not. But I learned, and I learned so much about it. It enabled me to write another one. And with the first book where I did make, I made way too much details, not a story. It was more like reading a reference book. But with that reference book, I could create online courses, and I've created all these online courses. So it wasn't really wrong of me to do it. It was probably wrong of me to try and sell it as a book, which didn't happen, but it wasn't wrong of me to do it. And we need to be willing to take those risks and step forward and do that so we get an understanding of who we are and where we want to go.
Right. Well, and you always start with what you're interested in. What are you interested in?
Yeah.
One of my sisters-in-law, you look at her garden and her yard and it's a show place. You come to our house and we live in the country and we don't do anything. We don't have a yard really. We just let the natural, you know, plants grow. Well, we do cut down the grass a bit for fire hazards. But because we want to keep the house safe. But, you know, I'm not into gardening. So, you know, or my other, I have a sister who's a really great cook. That's her creativity, you know, and she's creative in other ways too. But that's one of her creative outlets is trying new recipes and, you know, cooking things for her family. And so what are you interested in? That's where you start.
Yes, and because I've got so many different interests, you don't have to go to one way. We can have a look at the different things. When I look at cooking, I think, no, I don't even want to, I don't even like going in the kitchen, let alone cooking. I do it begrudgingly, but, yeah, you put me in my kitchen rules and, mate, I'll be out of there. But I loved gardening. I did love gardening. I guess we can start to look at the type of person we are, because I actually enjoy doing that physical side of things. You know, I actually enjoy working in the garden and doing that physical work. But in the same token, you know, I love talking to people, and like you do, Lucinda, collecting their stories and getting to learn who they are and what they're doing. And if that, mm-hmm. if somebody's a people person, start mm-hmm. a podcast, for goodness sake, and have Lucinda and I on it, okay?
That's right. Well, I'm an introvert, but I am curious. I'm curious
about it. You're an introvert and you go on stage, because I know I'm an introvert too, but I'm really surprised that you're on stage. Like,
Well, when you're going on stage, this is how it was for me. I was playing a different person. I knew the audience was there because they wanted us to be successful in the play. And I just had a ball trying to be, you know, somebody else and singing and dancing sometimes. And that energy that you get from the audience, there's nothing like it. You probably know that as a dancer. Yes. There's nothing like that charge of energy. Now, I would have to go home and crash for a while. And fortunately, at that time, I wasn't working outside the home too much, except for the little teaching things that I did. And so I had a lot of time to be quiet. It's just that, yeah, I have to have a lot of time to be quiet. But I can be on when I'm teaching. And my students say, "You're an introvert, really?" You know, they don't understand. I can be on with you,
yeah, but exactly. I can go. And I can, yeah, and on the podcast, you can be on. And I have so many people saying that, you know, your energy is lovely. But most of the day, and like you, I work from home. So I'm at home. I'm in this little space here all day, mm-hmm. every day. And it's like, my partner comes home and it's like, "Row, jump on him. What are we going to talk about?" And he sort of goes, "Oh, I've been talking all day. I don't want to talk." So it's, we have that sort of, I have to let him come in the door first before I, you know, attack and let him chill out for a bit. And then I can go, "Oh, so how was your day?" Because right. I, like you, even though you're an introvert, did you still need to have that connection? And I guess one of the areas of, with the podcast, and why I really enjoyed it so much, which actually did surprise me. I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I do, but it is the fact that I can be an introvert, I can be me in my space, and yet mm-hmm. I can still meet everybody and still be with everybody in cyberspace.
Right. Yes. Mm. Exactly. And I love hearing people's stories. I just love that. So for me, that's really cool.
Yeah, and you were talking about, when you're talking about the stories and that, so you're collecting stories like with the podcast, but the way you break down, like you're telling me as a child or a young adult that you would read something or watch a movie and then you would break it down in structure, or you would break it down. I find that really fascinating because that's a sort of a nerdy thing that I do too. So I really enjoy that sort of side to it. Yes. So how did you do that? What's that involved?
Well, my father didn't really know that he was doing this, but he was using the Socratic method. He would say, "So what did you think of the movie?" "Oh, we really liked it." "Well, what did you like about it?" "Well, I liked this character." "Well, what was it about that character that you really liked?" I mean, he would just keep asking questions and questions and questions. And then finally we would say, "Dad, I don't understand why this character did that." "Oh, okay, well, let's talk about that," you know? And so we just go on and on and on like that. And eventually we would get to the, "Well, what do you think the movie meant?" Because every single thing that's written down has a purpose. Yeah. And there's a kind of a message or a message behind it, I guess. And so that's what I was doing with my English teachers, as I was saying, "Oh, well, this is what I think the theme is, because this character says this and this character does that and this event happened." And then later I learned about the plot outline, the basic plot outline that every fictional story has. And so, you know, I mean, there will be differences, of course, because there's backward and forward in time, and there are the montage sequences, or there, you know, those devices that filmmakers use, and theater has its own conventions too for those kinds of things. But Yeah. So analyzing a play is just asking the questions and going deeper and deeper and deeper about why the characters are doing what they're doing and why did the playwright choose this event for them to be challenged by and stuff like that.
Mm. But what you were just saying then, to which I find really interesting, is that your dad was teaching you about you. Because every time he asks you, what did you think of it? And why did you like that? And you're learning more and more about yourself, and you're allowing yourself to be heard, which I don't know whether your dad realized he was doing that, but that's really amazing, because a lot of people won't do that. They don't really, they shut you down. They don't really care. So in him asking you these simple questions has allowed your creativity to come out. It's allowed you to be, acknowledge who you are, because I know I remember going through a stage, especially with my ex, that I was not allowed to have an opinion. So if anybody said to me, well, what do you think? And I'll sort of go, well, I don't know what I think. I need to ask. So I wasn't allowed to be myself. Yeah. Whereas your dad at such an early age allowed you to have an opinion, allowed you to look at it like that. So you had amazing parents. That's fantastic.
Dad knew what he was doing. He knew, because he was very, very wise in terms of knowing about people and how, and he could look, he was a lay minister, and he could look at people and say, oh, this person has this talent, but they don't know it. And so he would ask him to do stuff using that talent. And then they would go, I never knew I could do that. You know, so he was really wise about human nature.
Yeah. And of course, that's another, you have just got some amazing stuff, but that's another aspect where someone goes, where we might think that, you know, you might get the little message saying, oh, you should do that. And then straight away that, oh, no, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. No, no, you're no good. You're no good at that. You couldn't do that. That's impossible. But the little voice is going, yeah, you can. You can do it. I want you to do it. And this is where we have to start to take that step forward and see what it is, and then move forward from that. So that, again, is your creativity coming forward to give you a better life.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to get past that inner critic, what you were talking about.
Yes.
The little voice in your head that says, oh, no, I can't do that. But there's another voice in your head, like you were saying, yes, you can do this. Yeah. So it's kind of a little battle. Sometimes people have a battle in their head, and you just have to decide which voice you're going to listen to.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, we're getting close to the end, but I do want to remind everybody that your website is sagewomen.life. Now, that is the website, like the URL, but I know I typed in Sage Women Chronicles and it came up. Sage Women Chronicles is a fine way to find your website, but also Sage Women Chronicles is your Facebook page too, so you can get to listen to through that as well.
That's my writer page on Facebook. I also have a personal account. And then on Instagram, I think it's just Sage Midgordon, all one word, lowercase. And I can't remember what it is on Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter for a long time. And I think on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Lucinda Sage Midgord.
Yeah, cool. So if you want to connect with Lucinda, go into any of those and you will be able to do that. But is there anything else you'd like to say before you go, Lucinda? And I do want you to stay online because I need to talk to you after this. But is there anything else you'd like to share?
Wow. Just go try stuff. Go find something to try. Yeah. Take a pottery class or a dance class or a yoga class or, you know, I don't know. Go talk to people. Sit in the mall. Watch them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things we can do, isn't there? And it's really no excuse to say, well, I don't know what to do or I can't do that. You've just got to start. The first step is to take it forward and have a go.
What sounds interesting, and go try it.
And there's so many things we can do. Like when you start to look at, you would have over there, what do they call it? Meetup. Do you have meetup over there?
Well, we don't call it that, but we probably do. Yeah.
There's, well, we have a little meetup, what they call it here. So it's like you just groups of different people and you meet up at different places. Mm. So there could be a walkers, there could be photographers, there could be yoga people, all different sorts of people that have got the same or similar interests. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to have a try. We had one on Facebook a couple of months ago, and they were doing urban drawing, urban sketching. So I just joined up on that. No cost. Go along. I had to buy my bits and pieces. Go along. Have a try. I went probably four or five times and I sort of went, no, okay, I've had a try, but no, don't really want to go there. I'll try something else. Right. And you're never wrong. You're just doing something different and you meet different people and you start to get an understanding of who you are and what you can do.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
you make me something cool.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You could do something cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because there are all kinds of neat people out there. So
I know there is. And look at us, we're on the podcast. Woohoo.
I know.
All right, Lucinda, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great to have you.
Oh, it was really fun. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Well, you stay there because I've got to talk to you in a minute and I've just got to do the final bits. So there you go. Creativity, the first thing you'll do is step out. Now, if you're getting those little messages, remember, it is about you. That's the inspiration. It is about you taking the next step. Now, again, we don't have to be 100% right. We just need to take that step and then we can start, okay? And it could take you different ways. Like I said, I wrote a book thinking, oh, I'm going to be an author. And I ended up, well, I was an author, but I ended up going into, it was just terrific for online courses. And then that led to the podcast. So we just start to do these little weavy, whiny trips to get to where we need to be. And it's all because we're getting that lovely little inspiration and we're following our creativity. Your life will get so much better when you start doing it. I can assure you they will. But I've got to go. Subscribe, like, share the podcast and jump onto Lucinda's too. Hers is called Power. It's called Story Power. Story Power, it's called. We didn't actually mention the name, I don't think. Story Power. So it's really good. Go and have a look at that one. But that's me from The Art of Intuition. I'm going to say goodbye. Have a great week and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.